Hi, my name is Sage Mendoza and I'm in the 8th grade. Today, my message is called Even If. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So we're going to stop right there for a second. So right now, obviously, it said in the beginning that King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. So just basically a huge statue of just gold. I bet it was really shiny, you know, very like, what is that? Like, I wanted to see what that is. So then King Nebuchadnezzar, it was in Babylon. And Babylon is the place where all languages were made. I can't remember the verse or the reference, but somewhere in the Bible, it talks about the every language coming from the Tower of Babylon. So it's in a smaller town inside of Babylon. That's where they're at. So as you can imagine, King Nebuchadnezzar called a bunch, like the whole town, basically. He called all of the, basically nowadays it would be like calling like, okay, we're going to get all the teachers, we're going to get all the business workers, we're going to get all the lawyers, all of the, just like all of the, security cards. I don't know. I'm just saying, getting the whole town up in here. And then King Nebuchadnezzar says that he's making a decree, which is a law. And he said to, whenever you hear any kind of music, he's listed the bunch of the, like the horn, flute, zither, harp, whatever. And then he said, all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship this image of gold. And you know, after they all heard that, they're like, well, yeah, the king of our town is asking us to do that. And if not, we're going to get thrown into a blazing furnace. Yeah, we're going to worship this thing. Like, they didn't even care. They're like, yeah, I mean, it's gold. Like, why wouldn't they? Were kind of like, I'm just paraphrasing. They were probably kind of like, oh, like, why wouldn't we? Like, it's gold. It'll probably, like, it's shiny, it's nice, and it's keeping us from death, you know? But then, and to kind of relate this to today, some of you might be thinking, like, even when I first heard, I was like, what does this have to do with right now? The golden image can be social media. It can be some of our friends. It can be some of the things on TV nowadays. It's not always this prominent thing. There's, like, you know, the devil. Like, a lot of people think of him as this red person with horn and a pitchfork, but he comes in the slightest, sneakiest ways. He doesn't come right in front of you in the ways of like something's big and scary. He comes in the ways of people sometimes. He comes in the ways of things you watch, things you listen to, especially. So today they're saying, like, it's like, okay, like, you're just gonna mindlessly scroll on TikTok all day, or else, you know, you're not going to be a part of this, how about we tear this other person down because our friends think it's funny, or else you're not going to be a part of the lunch table anymore. So that's how we can kind of relate that to today. I'll get further into that now, but so now in verse 8 it says, at this time some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold." and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, let's kind of like put yourself into King Nebuchadnezzar's shoes for a minute. Hearing this, you would not be happy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were people who King Nebuchadnezzar, I can imagine, trusted because he put them kind of as like the leaders of one of the provinces in Babylon, in one of the cities. So like they were pretty like highly esteemed figures in Babylon. But now he's hearing this, he's like, I gave you your job. Like, I'm supposed to be the one telling you what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to deny me, you know? But then, I mean, I'm hearing they pay no attention to you, like, that is crazy. Like, I've just, like, take a step back and, like, whoa. Like, who do they think they're talking about here? So then, as you can imagine, and it kind of talks about how King Nebuchadnezzar is feeling in verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to save you, or then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So, King Nebuchadnezzar is saying some big words right here. He's like, is it true? Like, there's no way y'all are, like, denying me. And then before he even let them answer the question, he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. Let's, like, stop music for a second. I'm going to give you one more chance. You can have just get out of jail free card, basically, and fall down and worship when you hear this music, or go into the blazing furnace. So then it says in he's also already putting, like, God, the Most High God, down lower than him, because he's saying there's no God that can save you from this furnace. Like, this is tangible. We're not just talking about a candle fire and you put out with your fingers. Like, my grandpa used to do that. He would put water on his fingers and just take care of that. It's like, no, this is a furnace. It's hotter than when you open the oven and put the brownies in. It's a blazing furnace. And he's saying, no God can save you from that. Like, you're either worshiping this or you're in the ashes. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then in verse 18, in verse 17, no, verse 16, guys, sorry, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I'm going to pause there. So, obviously, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to reply to him. And they basically said that when they said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, like, they're not afraid to answer them. They're like, no, like, we're not afraid to, like, we don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to try and put up this front and be like, oh, no, yeah, like, we won't really worship it, but, like, let's just kind of, like, fall down and, like, be like, oh, yeah, this image of gold to just save themselves from the fire. They're saying, no, like, we're not even going to get close to that. Like, our God is a mighty, powerful, holy God, and we're not going to just disrespect him like that for the king's praise over them. They're like, no, like, we will face the fire for God. Facing the fire for God today is when maybe you're in school at the lunch table and your friends start saying things, and they start saying, like, some kind of bad stuff maybe, and you're just like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's so, like, that's so cool, or like, oh yeah, that joke that you made about that person's hair, like, oh, that's so funny, or whatever. See, that's basically falling down and worshiping the image of gold. It's not always going to be something this, like I was saying earlier, it's not always, like, the bad things in the world are not always going to be these blaring, like, oh yeah, like, you know, the, they're not always going to be so flashy, you know, like, it's going to be the little moments that make up the biggest difference, you know, each little moment builds up into a bigger crumble, you know, it's like, after time and time and time of just kind of like, oh yeah, kind of nervously laughing when your friends say that, they're going to keep continuing that because they're like, oh yeah, like, you accept that, like, you're kind of in this road with this. Or it's even the things we listen to, especially like these artists nowadays, like, they're getting pretty, like, prominent in really bad things, and we're just like, oh, I like the beat to it, so I'm going to listen to it. That's worshiping this false idol, pretty much. And they're saying, and but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they were here now, they'd say, no, I'm not going to be subject to that. I'm going to say, hey, like, how about at the lunch table, hey, how about we talk about something different? Or when I hear this on my phone, or when I see these things on social media, I'm just going to scroll past, or even put my phone away. Or, like, I'm going to turn on the music off. I'm going to turn the radio off. And it's like, even if they were in this situation of literal death, they were facing death. Us today, we're just facing maybe a smaller amount of friends. And if, like, that's saying, even if I lose friends, I'm still surrendered to God. And if your friends leave you because you're trying to serve God, then that, they weren't your friends, I don't think. Like, there's still obviously grace and love for everyone. But that's kind of a moment where you're like, oh, like, these people don't want what's best for me and them. Like, they don't want to serve this mighty, powerful God that loves all of us so much. Then that's kind of a sign. But that's a whole totally different, like, message for a whole nother day. But, or it's saying, like, if you lose popularity, which is kind of the same thing, are you still going to surrender to God? Or if you lose, or if you get discouraged, are you still going to be surrendered to God? If you lose even a person in your life, a loved one, are you still going to be surrendered to God and be able to walk out in faith? Like, faith is not a cakewalk. It is not. Like, it's not, in other words, it's not simple. It's not easy at times. It's not, yeah, that's the way to put it. Because, like, faith is not believing in God when you have reason to. It's believing in God when you have no reason at all to. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing here. They were believing in God when they had absolutely, like, they obviously loved God, but against a blazing furnace, they were like, it, obviously they knew, and they had the confidence that God was going to save them, but that took faith as well in God. So yeah, that took a lot of faith, and we need to have the same faith they did today. But let's read a little bit further. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the servants who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So we're going to pause there for a second. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are tied, and they're put up there into the blazing furnace, fell down, the whole thing. The servants who put them up there died because the furnace was so hot. The people who were just, they were probably far away, they probably even had like a rope system where they're like, okay, you pull this side, and they'll just like kind of plop into there, or like however it worked. I can imagine they weren't that close, but the heat of that still killed them. It was hot enough to kill them. Okay, and let's go down here because it explains more. Okay, Then it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your master, or your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, yeah. And the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors crowded them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. So we're going to take a second there and just sit there for a second. So they were cast into the fire and everything. The servants were killed. And then Jesus was in the fire with them. They were still alive. You would imagine if the servants were dead, they'd already been dead for a whole 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, but no, they were alive. Jesus was with them in the fire. He came for them because they had faith. And they were like, we're not going to worship your false gods. We're not going to just mindlessly scroll on social media all day. We're not going to listen to these things. We're not going to partake in the conversations that are going on at the lunch table. And even if they faced maybe criticism of others, if they faced, let's say, like in today's world, like people maybe saying things about them or their friends saying like, oh, like, we're not really going to talk to you anymore. Or even people that just, they're like, oh yeah, like, no, don't talk to that person. Like, they're just like a little bit crazy. But no, they didn't care about that. They did not care about that. All they cared about was God and loving him and serving him and being faithful to him as God is faithful to them. So they went into the fire, and then Jesus, even though they were there for a minute, Jesus still came and saved them. He was in there in the fire with them. It's not like he was just like, okay, it's not like Jesus was standing outside and was like, okay, you can come in here. Like you, or it was either Jesus or an angel. It was one of the two. I'll have to look at it more. But he was like, oh, it's not like they were like standing out here like, okay, you can come out now. They were in the fire with them. So in other words, like Jesus is always with you where you're at. When you're following him and you're pursuing him, he is always there with you. He is always there to come for you, like to come there and save you and be with you and comfort you. Even when the whole world is against you, you know what I'm saying? And another verse that comes to mind is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then another verse, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So in other words, like, things done for the glory of God do not come back void. In other words, they're not, like, it's not for nothing. You know, like, God loves us so much, and the least we can do for him is obey him and have faith in him that he will come for us and that he will save us and that he will love us, even when other people might not recognize it, having the faith that we can recognize it and the confidence that our God is mighty and holy and that he cares for us. And also I get from that is that good, like, another, it's basically the same thing, but that good comes out of everything that is being done for God's glory. So whenever we're glorifying him, whenever we're praising him, whenever we're trying to tell other people to go this way, like, don't go the way of the false idols, don't go the way of falling down and worshiping these false images, go this way, like, go to the light, go to the, like, even if you feel like you are trying to evangelize to your friends, even if you feel like you are trying to say, like, hey, guys, like, hey, how about we don't do that? It's not going to come back in void. Even if you do it for one person in your friend group or even if you do it for one person in your school, that's still a life saved and still a life that's being devoted to God. That's still important. It, like, sometimes the quantity isn't better than the quality of the way you're helping these people have faith in God. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were so faithful. Like, so faithful. And if you're getting discouraged at the point of like, well, it really does feel like I'm doing this for nothing, the same fire that killed Shadrach, or that killed King Nebuchadnezzar's servants, didn't even touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in other words, it's like, even though you are feeling like this time of discouragement, and like you feel like you're in the fire, and you're like, I'm serving God, I'm doing all these things, but like, what's the benefits? They're coming. God is coming for it. He loves you. He sees the work you're doing. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to say a second ago. It's like, even if you things you do, like, you could be a role model for someone. You can be an example for someone, and that is important. That's what's important. So we should all have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we should all be bold enough in our faith to always follow God and choose God and stay faithful to Him. So thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoyed.